What's good, you guys? I'm just sitting here thinking about the next challenge. Not just for myself, but what you guys need to be doing. And I think I've figured it out. No matter what you guys have done in the past, how many heights you've climbed and reached, how many prizes you've won for doing the thing, I can challenge you to a marathon right now. And I guarantee most of you would probably take that on as some type of a challenge. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. The power lifters among you. The bench pressers right here on a TGI Monday. Thank God it's Monday. Eagle Killer Show, where we peel back layers of the human condition in favor of actionable pieces of advice to help you get through conquering that mentality, figuring out what makes each other tick, paying it forward. This week, we're going to tap into the idea of endurance, because you build yourself differently when you take on endurance challenges. And then I ask, hey, strap on those shoes, those Hokas, and let's go for that 23 miles. Whoa. I need to train. I need to think about this. I need to write my will, my last will and testament, just in case I don't make it. 5 hours on concrete? Boy, are you serious? Endurance. That's the ticket. And beyond 30 minutes is what we talk about when we talk about cold blood, biological, no holds barred endurance. So it's beyond like a 5K type mileage. And the longer you go for that, it's purely endurance. Now, before I get off and talk about this, talk about the book we're going to go into and break that down so that we can figure out what it is about you endurance athletes, about my mom who runs endurance, about some of us who are really good at ultras, some coaches that I met, I'm going to let you know, you're probably built a little bit differently. Now, not like you're a superhero necessarily, although maybe people who do that stuff are, like superhero archetypes amongst us, walking with us mere mortals. But you tap into a whole different set of skills when you do these long distance endurance type things. The type of skills that don't really serve you just for 30 seconds. That can, but they serve you for 1 hour, 45 minutes, an hour and 45 minutes, and dare I say beyond. So you who are built differently, us who are trying to figure out how to acquire those skills to move as though we're built differently, let's take a look today about the mindset, the endurance mindset, and knowing one thing, that it's all mental. Let's break it all the way down. I'm never going to forget, and you guys have a friend who they never did a marathon before, and then one of their friends signed them up for a marathon, and then they did the whole thing like barefoot, right? Had like a glass of milk and a salad the night before, and that was it. And they completed the marathon. There's some people out there like that. So the outliers, those of you who are just out here doing the most with very little, one time, nice. I ain't gonna take it away from you at all. You know, you got your stripes. But I'm talking about how we can all acquire that type of mindset. Like, how did that person tap in to that mindset? And I know you guys have heard of that person that's like, never did a marathon, did three of them in 1 month. And we're talking about longevity, right? We're talking about the mentality. And we're knowing that this thing is different than being a front runner, because we're not out here training to be front runners. Not unless you're playing football, where it's important to strike first blood. All right? It takes me back. Walked into the boxing gym. Strong young man. I'm like 19 or something like that, right? And I just got done playing football. I decided to walk off the field to hang up my cleats after like 8 years or something like that, 10 years. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give this boxing a try. Always had it in me. Let's do it. And maybe this will help illuminate some of the key characteristics of those endurance runners among us. You guys let me know in the comments of the video or on that Spotify if this is the case. Please do. Here I was in some of the best shape of my life. I mean, I'm in my 20s, right? I'm able to get away with all the extracurricular activities that comes with being in your 20s. I've played with adults. I've played with other folks in their 20s. Some of those folks were using medicine and gear. I proved myself to be a hard hitter or baller. Not saying, you know, I could win awards like that, but I am saying I definitely competed. I definitely did my work on the football field for sure. Had been doing it for years, experience under my belt. People from all over the state of Cali met them on the football field. So I know, like, hey, I could at least hold my own to some degree. I'm like, yo, this boxing is about to be easy. I'm about to run this. I'm about to show everybody in this gym how an athlete performs. Because remember, in my mindset, I'm like, the toughest people on the planet are football players, straight up. First day, actually the first time I ever did a boxing class, coach, there's two dudes. There's David, there's Lupe. Lupe is the head coach and the owner, has us do all these drills. First one, go get the shield. We get the shield. I'm hitting with David. And there's two other people there, very small place. And I'm hitting as hard as I can, right? Because football, I'm tired. 30 seconds in. Keep going. All right, good. That was a good set. Time to switch. You still got 2 minutes left. Wait, whoa. 2 minutes? Peak exhaustion for 2 minutes. And that was my first mindset. As David's telling me, you can't do what you did in football. This is totally different. He had one of his homies there too. He's an older guy, like in his mid, late 20s, trying to go ahead and make that comeback. Maybe he's in his 30s. They were over here snickering like, hey, this is totally different. What helped you out there ain't going to help you in here. I was like, man, so there really is something to being able to last. And from that point forward, I knew that, well, I might have been strong, I might have been quick, I might have been extremely powerful, but the ability to last is what really, really matters. What are the characteristics of you when you're thinking about lasting? You have to have a high pain tolerance. Same thing in boxing. I looked at all of those fighters that I met early on and I thought, they're able to be powerful. They're able to be quick. They're able to front run, be explosive, to hit you in the mouth, as it were. And they can do it for way longer. What is that? I was ready to quit after a few minutes for a few more minutes of rest. And there are people in here who are like, oh, you're just getting cooking. That's the feeling you get of just getting cooking. Your pain tolerance, your resiliency has to be a little bit higher. Literally your pain tolerance, right? Because there is a measure of pain that you have to accept if you're going to run for ultra marathons for long periods of time. So I'm already thinking like those amongst us walking around with that pain threshold and tolerance, which are totally different. Oh, you guys could run. And then I thought about what are you thinking about for 3 hours straight? That's got to be some type of vinyasa flow. Like you're just out here moving, meditating, styling, right? You're sitting here thinking about, you know, all you going back to your childhood at that point. Like you thought of yesterday already 10 times. You thought of what you should have done about this job opportunity that they handed to someone else. You're going over all the steps in your life. You're out there by yourself running for 2 hours. Man, so what is it? You're solidifying a sense of purpose. Imagine if we can bottle all that, the pain tolerance, the resiliency, the sense of purpose, and encapsulate it and pop that pill, like on some Limitless Bradley Cooper type stuff, every morning. Well, you can. We're going to teach and talk about how and the aspects of someone that knows endurance implicitly on some real David Goggins type mindset, and we're going to figure it out. All right, we're going to figure it out together. Thinking is important, and this is because I've never done a full marathon before, but I always thought about, like, what are you thinking about for 4 hours, for 5 hours when you're out there? What are you actually thinking about? There's an idea that I try to invoke when I'm training with you guys here in the gym every single day, that, yo, whatever you were thinking about, it don't matter. It doesn't matter at all. That is a challenge. Right now, challenge you guys. When you're done listening to Ego Killer Motivation, your next five thoughts, don't even finish them. Just let them go. Ah, feel the sense of calm come over you, knowing that you just tapped into something that ancient wisdom traditions have been teaching for millennia, which is empty mind. Very important. And then now, here, I'm over here building up my own X-Men, right? I'm thinking about you who have high pain tolerance, able to move through life with an empty mind and just be in the moment all the time. Like, yo, I want these traits. Like, let's get some of these traits in everybody. Like, let's pass this on. Because they sound like great life traits. All the best movers and shakers are out here not stressing over bullshit every day. You're walking around with empty mind. A mind that can be filled with positivity. And so, when you're out there running, I assume that you guys have figured out how, you badass, if you're really good at endurance or have taught yourself this, maybe it started young and with cross country. You've taught yourself to just like let go. And what are you letting go of? All of the barriers, all the mental contaminants, all of those things that the ego tries to prevent us from leading into the next. The idea that negativity is where I live. The idea that I'm supposed to be actively overthinking about something. That idea that in an urbane modern society, if you're not overly stressed and overthinking everything, you ain't busy, you ain't productive. And nothing, my friends, is further than the truth. You'll hear me talk about that all the time in the gym, or at least try to activate that all the time in the gym, because it's the truth. But yo, maybe I'd run a few half marathons to figure that one out. I don't know if I'm ready for that right off the top. And then it's like tapping into what really matters to you. Intrinsic versus extrinsic drive. Out there, there's a bunch of prizes. You get done with your marathon. You hang up your little medal. You'll be like, yeah, I did that. And you hang them up. You got a ton of them. Cool. You get to show that off. I know my mom has a rack of those things. Dope. Right? But it goes back to that idea that we out here looking for gifts. We're looking for honor. We're looking for someone else to say like, yeah, you did that. Or are we doing it for a sense of internal purpose? Intrinsic drive. Those things that motivate me. That makes it personal, right? You're out here running like, man, I remember when I was a kid and I couldn't run because I had seasonal allergies. They gave me that allergy test. Messed up my entire arm for 3 days. Told me I was gonna be shit because of my allergies. Because of where I'm from. Because we're too poor, right? Because no one had done it before. My family's all into this type of lifestyle. Me, I'm into something else. I'm not supposed to be doing any of this. Now we make it personal. Now, 2 hours later, maybe we're not thinking about it. It's the idea of ego depletion. It's just an idea, this ego depletion, that speaks to the fact that the ego has nothing else to cling to. No more worries or concerns or extenuating over nuanced thoughts about, oh, but I shouldn't be doing this. Or what if I break my ankle? Or if I break my ankle, it's catastrophizing, right? What if I break my ankle? That'll prevent me from getting to my car and I can't drive as fast. So I'll be in traffic longer and all the crazy chains that we do think like that in a hustle and bustle, super urban, modernized type world. We make all of those catastrophic thoughts. We smash them together in a sandwich of despair and we just nibble on that. All day. We do it so often. It becomes our lifestyle. You living out in the sticks, you probably are like, huh? You city people, man. You're missing the plot. But on the real, we all get into that. And it's something I stress over and over. Like, that's what holds us back. It's that stress. And so the idea of ego depletion becomes there's just nothing. You've let go of all thoughts, negative and positive, and you're just doing the thing. You're staying in the moment, right? The slayer of ego, gratitude. We're out here just running. The ego has nothing to cling to. Oh, I don't have enough money. I should be out here working really hard right now. I should be, you know, contacting my uncle. I haven't talked to him in a while. I feel guilt. None of that. You're just out there getting it. You're on some vinyasa type stuff. And so these are lessons that we could take into thinking about limits. Had one of my friends who is a coach of mine, I remember over the pandemic, he posted 50 miles. He goes, hey, just knocked it out, 50 miles. And I was like, yo. In fact, he was trying to launch his gym back up post-pandemic. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, I got to get back in the gym. He's run 50. I've not run 50 in one day. That man, I clearly need to like be in the aura of somebody who is knocking 50 miles out in a day. Like, damn. Right? I guess he did it all day, a little bit of the night, or it was early morning to the next day. Actually texted him. I said, man, 50 miles? Shoot. And remember, they weren't letting us go out and about. So I was like, where the hell did you run to? Freaking Sacramento and back? That's much longer. But I'm like, where did you go, man? You went out to the county line and back? Did you go out to the beach and back? Go fishing, come back, just run the whole time. It's like, no, it was virtual. But they were still out. And my immediate thought was, on the treadmill? That's brutal. And he's like, no, it was outside. And you run the same lanes. You ran for a bunch of miles one way, the same way back. Apparently in some beautiful flora. In a forest or something like that. Foresty, hilly type stuff. The next thing he said to me, I go, bro, that's impressive. And he looked at me and he goes, ah, the first X amount of miles was like 6 or 8 were tough. After that, it's all mental, primo. That's all mental, man. That's what he said. I remember thinking like, clearly, right? Because at that point, it has to be. You're in pain. You want to turn around. You think about purpose. The purpose of your whole existence, right? In those moments. But you're still going in after it no matter what. So we need to talk about it a little bit, okay? We need to talk about the makeup and how to get there. All right, my friends, my young Padawans, my old Padawans, my neophytes, my students and everybody in between, let's go to school a little bit. Welcome to Sir David of Goggins School of being a badass by running really far distances, right? Or like my coach or friend or like a few people that I know here in the gym. Listen, we need to break it down and figure out how we can translate some of this here good stuff about pain tolerance, about the fact that pain threshold is what you're willing to take or what you can take versus pain tolerance, which is what you're willing to take, right? Because it's going to hurt. Just like when I was a long time ago, you know, learning sparring and boxing technique, it's going to hurt. But making sure that you don't quit because it hurts, you need to be able to reset yourself and reset your threshold. One thing that I know football players are exceptional at is that pain tolerance because, man, every 5 plays could really hurt. You have to get it in your mindset that it might happen. It might happen today, right? You guys push through. I see CrossFit. You ever watch CrossFit? Back when it was real popular and they're just in pain the whole time. The whole time. And how much endurance, pain tolerance can you put up? I imagine that has to be a huge source of willpower and drive, right? Speaking of it, is ego depletion part of it? The fact that willpower fatigues, does it fatigue? Like your quad, your vastus lateralis muscles do. It's all mental. Does your willpower, if it fatigues, does it ever come back? Like, your muscles do recoup as you keep moving. Not your bigger ones. Your smaller ones. They don't. It takes a lot longer for them to fatigue generally overall. And we'll talk about that in a minute. What happens? Does your willpower act the same? Does it leave and then come back? Right? And we talked about ego depletion. If it does, how can we keep it there for longer? Like, if I know that my calf muscles are kind of weak, they don't last very long because they're actually really big, right? I'm a type of a twitchy athlete. How do I develop that inside the gym? I would just do a lot of lighter work. I would jump rope. I would stay active with my lower body. I would change angles and work with really light weights for longer periods of time and short little rest, trying to get that hyperplasia, that hypertrophy of type 1's muscle fibers that could last. Could I do the same thing with my willpower? Like, do I got to just take cold showers for a week and just sit there in an ice bath? Because if you ask me, now the ice bath, just to make a little tangent, that'll get you mentally tougher and might help your body. The cryo chamber, I feel like, is just getting you tougher, right? Because the science is inconclusive. So go ahead and jump in one of those Fallout 4 looking boxes and just freeze your body, not your skin. And know that all you're doing is just teaching yourself to tolerate more pain, right? Is that what you got to do to increase your willpower or how long your willpower lasts? Let's find out. Alex Hutchinson's book, Endure, where he tries to talk about it. He talks about five things. Let's go through these five. And I'll let you know, like, yeah, I agree, or maybe this is how we work on that. The first one was the central governor theory. And we all know, well, I don't know. If you don't know what a governor is on a car, it's what prevents the car from going over 55 miles per hour. I used to have a friend. My friend Zachary used to talk to me about a governor in the car, and he used to use the same examples. Whatever that governor was, that's your body telling you, hey, you need to stop, man. This is about to hurt. You're going to damage your whole frame. You're doing physical damage. You're doing organ damage to yourself right now. Stop training. That is a codified way of your mind being scared and saying, I'm scared. I don't want to do this anymore. But we also know that resilience is a skill, and that messaging comes from us listening to the ego, not wanting to push past what we perceive as safe. Ego's job is to keep us safe. We know that I usually stop here at 30 minutes. Well, guess what? The ego's going to start throwing out every little, oh man, did you hear about that dude in 1998 that kept running? Ran for 30 minutes every day. Then he ran for 32 minutes, died. You want to be him? That's what the mind is starting to say. What else does the mind say? Why are you doing this? You don't have to do this. Go home. You got a Xbox and a tiny Hulu remote waiting for you. What are you doing? All right, so let's think about it. The governor theory, which again, it's like physical harm is going to happen. Right? Physical harm is going to happen to you. Chill. This tells us that many of our limitations are not purely physical, but are just imposed by the brain, and the brain does an amazing job of throwing out excuses, and we could just pick one up right when we want to. It's those Marines yelling at those buds, Marines, the Marine instructors, drill instructors yelling at the bud students during Hell Week, giving them any reason to quit. Oh, there's hot soup back at the barracks, you little punk, go quit. Because the mind will throw out any hot soup. I love soup. I love minestrone. Let me go quit right now. That's the mind. And building resiliency as a skill is the ability to push or to compartmentalize, to remember that is simply our ego. The part of our ego that wants us safe. But we want better. We want gratitude. We push. The next thing inside of Endure by Hutchinson, he talks about the role of belief, where athletes will perform better when they believe they've taken a placebo effect. And I'll agree with this one too. I used to know a dude at the gym, old Pitbull, and Pitbull used to come to the gym matched out. Shoes would match the hand wraps, one blue, one red. Hand wraps and shoes would match the gloves, brand new. Looking like that Mayweather set. He's over here swinging with that whole shoulder roll, looking crispy. Why? Because look good, feel good. Gloves, shoes, hand wraps match the headgear. Look good, feel good, he used to say. And maybe he was right. You know, dude had some moves. And, you know, there is a reason why you can get so many styles of specifically fight wear that tap into that inner beast, that inner badass inside of you. Because that's what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, you're not going to find boxing gloves with pitchers of, like, baking mitts on them. That you don't have to be a badass to be a baker, although you can be, but this isn't the domain of badass. Boxing gloves, you'll find boxing gloves on a side note that have donuts, sugar skulls, doodles, all of these things that tap into a mindset. This is for expression, and the more you express yourself, the better you perform. So I could go ahead and definitely say that there is a role of belief for sure. The next thing Hutchinson said is the perception of effort. The book argues that the perception of effort, not muscle, is the ultimate limit to performance. Look, I remember too running with a bunch of, with a team of Muay Thai team members in a class. And we were all getting a test for physicality, and so all morning we're going out to the track, we're all gonna run this test, and I'm gone. We're running 3 miles, okay? I'm out. Bah, 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 bah. First mile gets in the books, and the coach, who is a very high-level coach, teaches all of the Olympic-level Muay Thai fighters in the U.S., he's on the team of teachers, he looks at me and he goes, oh, nice, it's a 7-minute mile, keep it up. And I look right back at him. I go, what? He goes, yeah. And this all happened in a few seconds. And I immediately decided to put on that governor. I was like, yo, I'm going to fall out. Now, me from today, I would have been like, yeah, you're going to have to drag me off the gravel. The gravel's going to get in my beard. You're going to have to pull that out. You might have to cut my shirt off because it's going to be tattered up from dragging me off the track. This imagery that I set up helps you guys to understand that I'm grittier now, more resilient because I've learned that skill. But I would have done the opposite of putting on the governor. And my next 2 miles were actually about 10 and a half and 11. Not very good for me at that time. Ultimately, I think I was in the 28, 29 area. But I remember I thought to myself, yo, 7? That's all bad. I'm going to peter out. I don't want to do that. So I slowed myself down. Maybe if I pushed to my absolute limit, which, by the way, you never know what your limit is until you find out. If I had pushed, if you guys push every day you're out there training, you might have figured out. Like, oh, wait, I am capable of running, you know, at record speeds or whatever it might be for you. Setting those PRs. He talks about pain tolerance, Hutchinson does, in Endure, and talks about how pain tolerance is a critical component of endurance. I'm going to say sure, because at some point you're thinking, I'm doing damage to my body. That first one that we just talked about, that starts to kick in right there. The idea that the governor has to be set up. Because if I just continue to run like this, I'm going to break both of my ankles. I'm going to, my kidneys though, or whatever. And the last, so I'm going to go ahead and say yes, true. And the last thing is very interesting. It's the limits of oxygen use, right? There's an idea that VO2 max, the amount of oxygen your body can uptake, VO2 max, not necessarily VO, VO2 max, the maximum amount of oxygen. It scientifically, biologically, because of your mom and your dad and her mom and dad and your great grandma's great grandparents all had a certain amount of genetically predisposed VO2, the amount of oxygen your body can uptake before it has to stop. And since you actually are moving and pulling in oxygen, you have to move slowly enough to collect that oxygen without blowing out your muscles and needing, creating an oxygen debt. A little science for you. Ain't a science test, but I got to go over it. Got to be moving slowly enough so that you can continue to uptake oxygen or be more efficient at uptaking oxygen. Not creating an oxygen debt. You have to move quick enough to perform, so there's this happy medium. Well, at some point, the more you keep moving, you're going to end up, ultimately, no matter what, running out of the ability to uptake oxygen. That's your VO2 max. That supposedly is where you are going to fall out. Like those marathon runners that went too far and that GABA depletion took over their body. And they start short-circuiting, right? Arm going left, foot going over to the back of the neck. They're falling out like someone just hit the button on a cyborg. Shutdown button right before they hit the finish line. And they're all goofy foot falling all over themselves to get over the finish line. That's actually alpha gamma, alpha butyric acid depletion. That's your nervous system telling your body like, nah, I'm done. The idea is, in fact, that before that happens, you'll run out of the ability to uptake any oxygen. You have to stop running. You have to stop moving around. Well, he challenges that, well, maybe not. You can continue to run. You've seen Goggins or heard about Goggins. You know people who run, who do triathlons. You know people who maybe can hike for days straight. These suggest that maybe it isn't oxygen. So what can we take away from all of this? Think about your pain threshold and pain tolerance. Make the decision that pain isn't going to limit you. In fact, make the decision that excuses themselves, no matter what we're telling ourselves in painful moments. They're real, but they're not real valid. Thinking about instead willpower, finding a little bit more willpower as fuel to continue to keep you moving. Whether or not ego depletion is a foundational thing by science or not. Finding a little bit of extra to scrape and use as fuel. Super important. Taking in all of those lessons. Thinking about building resiliency as a skill. And the most important, I think, is just remembering why you show up. A sense of purpose will last you a really long time. Make sure you personalize that as long as you can. All right, my friends, I'm going to leave you with that right there. Let me know how many of these things work for you. Go onto the website, CoachJohanCSCS.com. Start getting dialed in for these lives. I'm doing events for free nutrition. Download it at that website, CoachJohanCSCS.com, and get more of this free. If you run a marathon off the back end of this story, let me know in the comments. If you're going to build up to it, let me know how it goes and what your plan is going to be. And until the next one, more importantly, stay all the way up.